Praise God. Father, I thank you for those who came out tonight to sit at your table and eat your divine food. I thank you for your angelic host that's already moving throughout the church, Father, ministering to your people's needs. And Father, I thank you that you're finishing the work you've begun in each and every one of us. And I thank you, Father God, we are not going to be left just hanging somewhere. But we will all sit at your table and receive instructions from the Father. And Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your teaching tonight. We thank you, Father God, that your anointing is upon this teaching. And it's going to accomplish exactly what you sent it forth to accomplish. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. God is awesome. So awesome. I'm going to talk about divine impartation tonight. Okay? Now, to understand impartation, I want you to really listen to this because at the end, God's going to do something special, all right? To understand impartation, you have to understand anointing, which in the Bible means a smearing. In Scripture, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. When a prophet or priest poured, rubbed, or smeared oil over the head of someone, it was referred to as anointing that person. This actually gave the anointed person a measure of the oil that belonged to the prophet or the priest. This is commonly referred to as transferring the anointing. All right? Now, you're all leaders in here, right? You've all been in training, so God can send you forth to start ministries of whatever sort. Then you're going to have to know about divine impartation. You're going to have to know about anointings. You're going to have to know that without this, you're nothing. You can't do nothing. In the Old Testament, the oil was used to signify the passing of the anointing. In the New Testament, we find that the anointing of the Holy Spirit can now be passed through the laying on of hands because the anointing abides within us. In 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. I'm going to stop here and say this. Be very careful who lays hands on you. They can transfer bad spirits or bad anointings as well as a godly person can pass good anointings onto you. So just don't let everybody under the sun lay hands on you. Know who is before you allow them to lay hands on you. I believe in the body of Christ, the problem with the body of Christ is we just want it so desperately to have hands laid on us, we let anybody and everybody lay hands on us, pour oil all over us, and we got messed up. Now, God wants to correct that, and he wants us to be on the right path. God, in his desire to have us equipped to bless, impact, touch, and heal our generation for his glory, has given to us the ministry of impartation, that extra dimension that enables us to function in a much greater way in the supernatural. Read that again. God, in his desire to have us equipped to bless, impact, touch, and heal our generation for his glory, has given to us the ministry of impartation, that extra dimension that enables us to function in a much greater way in the supernatural. So let's talk about divine impartation. Tonight, we are going to be looking at a very important subject for those wanting to be used effectively by God in public ministry. That is divine impartation. This is the ability to give unto others that which God has given to us, either sovereignly or through other anointed vessels of God. A divine impartation may come upon us directly from God to enable us to do what we've not been able to do before. For instance, when the burden of leadership was becoming too heavy on Moses' life, He cried out to God about this. God's response was to get Moses to gather together 70 men of the elders in Israel, of Israel. Numbers 11:16 tells us, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them." Moses had to know these men. "And bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee." And God says, "I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." It was too much for Moses. Numbers 11:24 says, "So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and Moses gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses and took of the Spirit that was upon Moses and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never prophesied again after that day." All right. God divinely imparted of the Spirit from Moses to the 70 elders. When that happened, they began to prophesy something they had never done before. That impartation enabled them to take on greater responsibility to support Moses. See this? To minister to the people and to release the Holy Spirit out of their lives to bless others in a more powerful way. One person cannot minister to all the people that's going to be coming into the house of God. Other people are going to have anointings transferred to them so that the weight isn't on one person. And this is what God's getting us ready to do tonight. There was a transferring from one to another so that the one receiving could function much more like the one doing the imparting or transferring. In other words, if I'm transferring an anointing to you, then you would have the same power that I have. Paul also thought of impartation as part of the process of becoming established. He imparted spiritual gifts to the Roman believers to give them a better foundation. Romans 1:11. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Paul wanted to transfer some anointing, some gifts into them. It can also come to us when God uses his anointed servant to transfer either by laying on of hands or by speaking the prophetic words. All right? Now I want to stop there. You know, when I had the church in my home, you know, I did a lot of marriage counseling. And what I would do when they quit coming for counseling, because what I would do is I'd say, "Okay, now you have the gift of prophecy." I never prophesied. "Well, you will. And I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to transfer the prophetic gift into you, and then God's going to speak to you, and you just tell each other what God's speaking." And that's the way it worked. But they didn't want to hear that, and it came out of their own mouth. God was telling them what they were each doing wrong to each, you know, to each other. And then he told them how they had to, what he wanted to do, how to correct it. And they said, "Oh, that's not even God." But they spoke it. It came out of their mouth. All right. But because I prayed, transfer the prophetic anointing into them. And I just sat back and said, "Now go ahead, God, start speaking through them and tell them, speak through their own mouth what you would have them to do." All right. It didn't work too well, but then I quit. Because if you don't want to hear God, then you don't want to be free. You want me to tell you what you want to hear, and I'm not going to do that. All right? Impartation has to do with the giving and receiving of spiritual gifts, blessings, healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and so on. Why? What for? For the work of the ministry. Let's read that again. Impartation has to do with the giving and receiving of spiritual gifts, blessings, healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry. It is a transference of these gifts from one man or woman of God to another, especially through the laying on of hands. There is an invisible flowing of spiritual ability from one to the other. Now, I want you, as you're listening about this transferring or impartation, I want to share this with you. One time, Frances Hunter was up north, and I was there, and I just loved their gifting, their healing gifting and everything. And so, and she said, if you come up, I will pray for you, and whatever the gifting that I have, you will have. And God said, don't go up there. And so I went anyhow, because I wanted what they had, right? And when I got up there, Frances Hunter came to me, and she said, Barbara, and I didn't know her from the moon. Barbara, God told you not to come up here. Get back to your seat. You're already gifted with healing. She said, I'm not touching you because God told me you're already gifted. Now go back and sit down, honey, and use your gifting. So if you're wanting an impartation and God's already tells you don't go, you already have it, then sit still. Yeah, but make sure it's God telling you not to go, all right? All right, and then another time, and whenever I was, Kenneth Hagin was in Baltimore, and I went there, and I've told you a story before, and he had a great deliverance ministry. You know, when he spoke, the demons come out. So when he called people to come up there just to be touched by him, and he would impart something into them, I wanted that gifting, you know, to be able to deliver people just by speaking. So God said, don't go there. But I got up out of my little balcony seat way up here, you know, and walked way down there and got in line. And the only person that didn't go out in the spirit was me. I'm just standing there. Everybody else is out in the spirit. God said, I told you not to come up here. You already have the gifting. Now go back and sit down and listen to what I tell you. All right? Come on. I mean, you already have it. You already have it. And God can't do anything more with it because he's already gifted you with it. Everything he has, you know, all the power and authority, all right? I did some dumb things trying to get more. Where am I at here? Every great destiny is a product of an encounter with the impartation of grace. Every great destiny is a product of an encounter with the impartation of grace. Every time somebody imparts something into you, it's by the grace of God that it's done. So impartation, what it means. It is essentially a spiritual platform for the duplication and multiplication of grace. This presupposes that grace is transferred from a source to a receiver. So impartation is a spiritual platform for attracting a desired grace from a carrier to one's life. In other words, I want to be able to flag like grace does. I really don't, but just say I did. And so, see, and I would just like God to give me that grace and transfer that gifting into my life, all right? Because that's a desire of mine. 2 Kings 2:9 says, Elijah and Elisha, and so it says, and so it was when they had, excuse me, I'm going to talk about Elijah and Elisha and the transferring of the anointing. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elijah said, please let a double portion of our spirit be upon me. That should be your spirit, be upon me. It was not a miracle that Elijah encountered. It was a double portion of the grace that was on Elijah's life. Miracles will provide answers for the now, but grace will give you command both for the now and for the future. So let's read that again. It was not a miracle that Elijah encountered when he got the double portion. It was a double portion of the grace on Elijah's life. Miracles will provide answers for the now, but grace will give you command both for the now and for the future. It'll always be there. All right? Miracle happens now. Then that miracle's finished. It is the tangible transference of the power of God through an anointed vessel. By the transference of the power of God in Paul, who was an anointed vessel, diseases were healed and evil spirits were cast out. It is a transference of spiritual endowment from anointed vessels to others. You cannot give what you do not have. Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He didn't have any money, but he sure had power and authority. See? The making of every great destiny lies in the giftings of the Spirit. Romans 1:11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." We read that earlier. So the virtues in an anointed vessel can be transferred to those who desire, crave, and are desperate for it. Like, I wanted what Kenneth Hagin had. I wanted what Francis Hunter had, you know. And it can, if you don't have it, it can be transferred to you. Acts 19:11, "And God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Just by the handkerchiefs or aprons. The cloth that he had on his body, all right? It is a transmission of the power of God into the situations of men. And we find that in Luke 7:13 through 15. So Luke 7:13 says, "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" This was the lady who was had her dead son, right? "Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented himself," and "Jesus presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.'" God, Jesus, had transferred his healing power to raise the dead into this young man, and he raised from the dead. He transferred some of the anointing that was in him into that dead body, and it came to life. All right? When Jesus was teaching, people received their healings through the prophetic word. Luke 5:17, "It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." See that? If you have the power of God in you, it will manifest itself whenever you lay hands on somebody. The problem with the body of Christ is if you have a leader who wants to remain a leader and not make leaders, they will not teach you how to receive the anointing, and they will, if they have any anointing, they will not transfer that anointing. But I wouldn't want their anointing, because I wouldn't want that greed or that selfish or that pride that's in there passed on to me. You see what I'm saying? But if you're really a true leader, and you're there to do the purpose of God, which is to teach others, make disciples of others, then you won't mind, you know, transferring the anointing, because the anointing never ceases. As you give out, God gives back in, and you'll always be anointed. You will not run dry. You just won't. Impartation, how it comes. It comes through the prophetic word. God's word is a carrier of God's power. He confirms whatever word he gives to his prophets. We just read that in Luke 5:17. And Romans 1:16 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." God's word carries power. That's why you should, even if you can't memorize the word, you should read it, because that word does go down into your spirit, and you'd be surprised that whenever you need it, God just put, if it's down in there, he can pull it right on out, and you'll say, "Oh, where'd that come from?" It's as you read it, you know, I can't memorize it, but as I read it, it's down in there, and when I need it, God pulls it out. He can't pull something out that's not in there, though. See, if I don't read the word, well, then there's nothing to pull on. So you have to read the word, get the word down inside of you, and then God can pull on it anytime he wants to. That's transferring of anointing too, really, you know, because it's anointing, it's on the word that's in you, and God just uses it and uses it to minister to other people. God's word releases his power that changes people's situations. Through laying on of hands in Acts 9:1 through 6, we read that. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses in Deuteronomy 34:9. It said again, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. What was upon Joshua? Full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid hands on him. Joshua stepped into Moses' shoes supernaturally by way of the laying on of hands. So, the prophetic mantle. In Acts 19:11-12, God wrought special miracles through the handkerchiefs and aprons taken from Apostle Paul. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You have to understand, saints of God, if you really have the power of God inside of you, if you'll wear prayer cloths, and people know that you have prayer cloths, and they ask for them, and you take it off your body and give it to them. Don't sweat all over them, all right? And they put, I know this is a fact because I used to wear prayer cloths all the time, and people used to come and get them, and you'll pin them to their people's pillows or put them on their sheets, and they would be healed because the anointing that was in that piece of the prayer cloth I was wearing then transferred into that bed, in which transferred into the person, and they became healed. Everybody in here tonight, if you're walking with God and have the power of God in you, you can do the very same thing. You're not always going to be able to run around the corner to the prophet. So you should have the anointing in its fullness inside of you, the power of God in its fullness inside of you, so you can draw what's inside of you and use it to minister to people. All right? Now, I'm never going to go overseas, so if you're over there, don't call my name because I'm not going to be there. So you have to call in the name of Jesus and the power and authority you have inside of you and pull on that anointing that's in you to get the work done. The prophetic mantle connects you to the virtue of the prophet, such that wherever the virtue takes him, it takes you. All right, so tonight I'm going to lay hands on you. God wants me to give you divine impartation. So what's ever in me will go into you, and then you can use that anointing to do whatever God desires to use you to do. Now, you don't have to have me lay hands on you. I really don't care, because my hands are clean and my heart's clean. But if you think it's not, then you don't need it. That's fine, and nothing's being said. But I'm going to tell you, that's what this is all about tonight, because God wants to, just like he did with Brother Ethan, he wants to divinely impart in you some of what's in me, because I can't do all the work myself. And I say this over and over again, and you're going to go places that I won't ever go. And so you have to have that anointing in you so God can pull it out of you. All right? I know when I was, first born again, remember I told you about I went, the prophet came into town, and I wanted to, I was just drawn to him. And so he was saying we could go to the pastor's house and he would prophesy over us. Well, her church was in her house. We could go upstairs. So when I went in there, I called the pastor and said, can I please come back and let the prophet, prophesy me? She said, sure. And so I went over there. I sat in line with everybody else. And when I went there, he was feverishly writing on a tablet. And his wife said to him, there's another one here. No, I've got to write this down. There's a woman coming. And she's a specially anointed woman of God. And I have to write this down quickly so I can give it to the pastor to give to her. And so when he was finished, he got up and turned around and he said, it's you. You are especially called and anointed of God. And from then on, I don't know what he said. I honestly do not know what he said. But that pastor then, midnight that night, called me and said, Barbara, you have to go into my place quickly. I said, all right. So I get up, got dressed, went over there, and she's went and poured the whole bottle of olive oil, I think it was, on my head. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'll never get this out of me. See, I didn't know what was going on. She just said, I didn't know about anointings. I didn't know anything about that. She just said, sit in the chair, and she put a towel around my shoulders and just started pouring this whole bottle of oil over my head. She said, don't let it get in your eyes. Shut your eyes. And so I did all. And she never told me anything. And when she's done, she wiped me down. She'd go home now. I did not know what was going on, but the man had told her to anoint me that night for God's service. So I'm telling you what God's doing to you. I'm not going to set you on a chair and say, well, just shut your eyes and don't let it get in your eyes and then send you on home. Amen. And, you know, and it was a while before I understood what God did. It was the Holy Spirit, you know, showed me. I kept saying, what was that all about? So finally he showed me what it was all about. You know, God will do great and marvelous things to you if you really desire him to. You know, I mean, one time I was really, really stressed out, and I was in my study crying, and my study goes out onto a little porch, and I walked out. God said, come out here, I'm going to talk to you. And I walked out there, and there was dew all over my porch, but no place else, any place else on the ground or anything. I thought, this is odd. And then I felt the dew on me. And I said, God, what is this? It's just dew on my porch and dew on me. He said, I brought you the dew of Hermon, and I'm anointing you. He said, I'm setting you apart for some special work for me. See, God himself anointed me. I know what this is all about, saints, because I lived it since 77 now. That's why I don't understand why you can't walk holy. And I really don't understand how you just can't serve God with all your heart. I just can't understand why you can still stay in sin when you serve such a powerful, holy God who loves you so desperately. I told you one time, he says, I've come to wash your feet. He said, I'm washing your feet tonight. I was distressed again that night. And I could feel him washing my feet. Now, how many of you has Jesus come and washed your feet? I'm telling you, Jesus, you know, God, he'll do such special, extraordinary things to you that it will totally and completely blow your mind. Totally and completely. People will look at you and think you're crazy. You know, I finally went to a church where a man who walked in the Spirit, the pastor did, and he knew exactly what God was doing with me. But he died before he could tell me everything. But he was the first man that knew that I was walking in the Spirit. I didn't know what I was doing. And maybe some of you don't know what you've been doing either. But I walked into that church one night, and this lady had a 9-month-old baby. It was sort of a hefty baby. And she had 6 kids. I always helped her take care of her kids. And I picked the little baby up, and I put the big baby up, and put him on my hips. And about that time, the Spirit of God hit me. Never had it done before, so I didn't know what was going on, right? I danced all over the church, around and around and around and around and around. And I wasn't tired. And everybody kept trying to get the baby out of my arms. And God said, and the pastor said, leave her alone. She's under the Spirit of God. The baby's not bothering her. Just leave her alone. And after that, I prophesied for 15 minutes over a couple and told them it's going to go to hell if they didn't quit what they were doing to their kids. Now, I've never experienced that before. But that's what God did. I can't see why you wouldn't serve God. It's a whole lot better than what your devils have you do. I mean, God never took me to hell. He never ripped the rug off underneath me. The devil does that all the time, doesn't he? He'll entice you into a corner. And once he gets you in there, then he lets you have it, doesn't he? God doesn't do that. Now, I didn't say, I am not saying I have not had hard times. I've had more hard times than good times. But God's always forewarned me what was coming. I was never caught off guard. Amen. I just never have been. And that's what my God does for me. And I was always very careful. God told me one time, all right, so this is how God works. I was up Maryland somewhere. I went everywhere when I was first born again. It's just looking and hungering after the things of God. And there was a lady up there, and they said, oh, she's a terrific prophet. You have to go. And I went up there, and she spoke, and I sat there and listened. I forgot what she spoke about, but she started taking up an offering. I had a $10 bill in my hand, and you know, there was no way I could put that $10 bill on her offering plate. They tried to pull it out of my hand. They tried to do everything. They could not get that $10 bill from me. And afterwards, I said, God, what was that all about? He said, she's not mine, and I didn't want you to put my money into her bag. See how God did that? I've tried to put that $10 bill in their little back. He would not let me. They went around me. They did everything. They tried to. Teresa Ann was with me. She said she tried to get it. She said, Mom, you would not let go of that $10 bill. God put me in the spirit and held on to those $10. I mean, that's how God is. That's how he is. He was not going to let me put good seed into a bad ground. You see that? Now I've lost my place. The mystery of the mantle is not a doctrine. It is a biblical truth. Well, what I said was the prophetic mantle connects you to the virtue of the prophet, such that wherever that virtue takes the prophet, it also will take you. The mystery of the mantle is not a doctrine. It is a biblical truth. When you catch a revelation of this truth, you will become a beneficiary of its manifestations. 2 Kings 2:14. You have to grasp the truth of what God's speaking to you here tonight. You have to grasp this down into your spirit, not into your head. Let it bypass your head and go right into your spirit, man. 2 Kings 2:14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they departed hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Elijah picked up Elijah's mantle and was upset, slammed it into the water, and it parted the waters. Elijah's spirit still in that mantle, and he was gone. I'm quite sure that whenever we die, that the anointing is still going to be in our clothes. And some people might touch us, and they might receive a healing or something. You know, I really do believe that that's what's going to happen. That anointing is going to stay in the clothes that we have on. Impartation, what it does. Impartation brings blessings. Here we see Isaac imparting the Abrahamic blessing to Jacob on the condition that she married the right girl. He gave her a blessing, but there was a condition to the blessing. Genesis 28:1-4. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. See, that was the condition there. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. That was quite a blessing he gave him. If you married the right woman. Some of you married the wrong person and your blessing went down the drain. Right? Come on. Genesis 48:14. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. Now follow this scripture, please. Follow it. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly. He knew what he was doing. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is a firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. See, that right firstborn was always supposed to be blessed. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also should become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So here we see Jacob passing on the Abrahamic covenant of blessing through impartation, but he gave it not to the firstborn, but to the secondborn. His prophetic insight also enabled him to know that the younger son of Joseph would be greater than the firstborn. And that's why he did what he did. Impartation releases the baptism of the Spirit. Acts 19, verse 1 through 6, disciples were baptized. You can read that at home. The disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit when Paul laid hands on them. Now, see, I don't believe in that. Even though it is okay. When I first born again, I had so many people spit in my face and say, ba, 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 boo, 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 repeat after me, ya, 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 and rub my head and shove me to the ground. And so I just don't do that. You know, but there are people that I know that you can lay hands on you and they can transfer the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues into you. But I can't do that. And I've always been very open about that. And I don't mind if some, but nobody's going to lay their hands on me and do that. I mean, I just quit that after the first couple of times. I thought, this is dumb. You know, this can't be God. And it wasn't. But God gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. So, you know, I didn't need all that other mess. So, come on, be wise when you go around this type of thing. Okay, I said in Acts 19, 1 through 6, disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit when Paul laid hands on them. Through impartation by the laying on of hands, those believers were released into a dynamic new dimension of the Holy Spirit, including the gift of prophecy. Now, I might cause you people to miss a blessing, but I always try to have somebody else pray over you for that gifting because I know that you aren't going to get anything from me. You know what I'm saying? Because I just can't do that. And so you have to know what you have inside of you. Excuse me. And if you don't have it in you, you're like me, somebody rub that out of me. then don't try to, it's right, dear somebody. But you know, please don't lay hands. Thank you. Please don't lay hands on people and try to do something. You know, if God is telling you to do it, then do it. But if he's not, don't do it because it won't do anything. Some people do it and say, I'm just going to show them what I got. Well, the devil's standing right there beside you showing you what you don't have. He'll knock the people down. He'll knock the people down for you and then get you all puffed up in pride and make you believe something you're not, that you're something you're not. All right, I don't know where I'm at, Nancy. All right, impartation gives grace for the work of God. Yeah, that's where we're at. As a result of Ananias' obedience to God and laying his hands on Saul, there was an impartation of the Holy Spirit from him to Saul. You know what Saul went through. Saul was strengthened to proclaim Christ in a way that amazed all who heard him. Saul was more anointed than the other disciples. True impartation strengthens us for God's work. True impartation strengthens us for God's work. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as... Now listen to... I want you to listen to this. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why was he there? God sent him there. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. And then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Immediately after that, after the impartation. Impartation releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are released through the laying on of hands of God's anointed servants. You'll find that in 2 Timothy 1, 6. Summary. God, in his desire to have us equipped to bless, impact, touch, and heal our generation for his glory, has given to us the ministry of impartation, that extra dimension that enables us to, that's an extra dimension now, that enables us to function in a much greater way in the supernatural. And if you're going to be doing anything for God in this dispensation, you're going to be working in the supernatural. God's heart is that each of us receive an impartation in the areas mentioned that we just talked about. So we in turn can not only function in them, you know, we have to be functioning in them first. Are you listening? But learn how to impact them to others. All right? Like I was real sick a couple months ago, and the devil said, heal thyself, teacher. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, he was mocking God. And God told me, I'm healing you. And God is, not instantly, but he is healing the things in my body that have been going wrong. But the devil come and said, heal thyself, teacher. And isn't that what he said it to Jesus in the Bible, too? And as soon as he said that, I thought, well, you old devil, you told Jesus that, too, right? So don't let him come and mess you up, because he will. In the Old Testament, the anointing was a very purposeful, pronounced event. It just wasn't something you just did. There was a purpose behind it. Impartation occurs not just because of touch, but because a person places his or her hands on you by the direction of the Holy Spirit with a goal in mind. Now listen to all that. Impartation occurs not just because of touch, but because a person places his or her hands on you by the direction of the Holy Spirit with a goal in mind. Intentionally, the impartation occurs. To say that impartation occurs every time touch occurs would be similar to saying that if an Old Testament prophet had a leaky oil flask, then everything that he dripped oil on was anointed to be king. All right? If it were just touch, then every time you shook someone's hand, you would have some of him or her rub off on you. Does everyone receive the same level of impartation when hands are laid on them? It is the mercy of God that protects us from receiving more than we can handle. Are you listening? As Pastor Bill Johnson of Redding, California says, revelation always brings responsibility. Some of you can't even be responsible for tying your shoe. So why should he give you a great impartation? Are you listening? Pastor Bill Johnson of Redding, California says, revelation always brings responsibility, and hunger is a thing that prepares our hearts to carry the weight of that responsibility. Our character must be able to uphold, listen to this, our character must be able to uphold the amount of power we carry, or else we are in danger to those around us. What has God been working with the people here at the Lighthouse? Our character. If your character isn't good, you can't carry a heavy anointing. It would destroy you and the people around you, because your pride would lift you up, and you would go around doing all kind of dumb things. And because you have pride, then that means the devil's active. And because the devil's active, then you lay hands on people, he'll give them something, all right. But it's not godly. So the answer is no. Not everybody gets the same anointing. Not everyone receives the same level of anointing in impartation. God knows what you need and what you can handle. And God also knows tonight that you people in here, you need an impartation so that you can go forth and do, just maintain yourself first. And then as you know that it works for you, and then God will use it then to impart it onto others. Now, I don't know what kind of divine revelations you think you've had from God or you have had from God, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm really not. But I want you to make absolutely sure tonight that if you have a gifting, that you know, that you know, that you know that it is from God. It's just not something you're conjuring up, or something the enemy or somebody around you wanted to build you up told you you had and you don't have. I know a lot of people said they were prophets and they weren't, and we try to teach them that they weren't, but boy, they really upset them, so we just let them go, because, you know, they'll burn themselves out eventually. All right? Now, there came a point, you know, whenever I was ministering, I'm still ministering, but, you know, in my ministry here, that I refused to lay hands on anybody, because I was just feeling like people thought, well, if she just lays hands on me, things will happen. In my pea brain, I thought that was wrong, but that wasn't wrong. They had faith in the anointing they saw in me. So please don't do that. Please don't downgrade yourself like I did. And so I would just say, you just come up here and throw your hands up. God's going to touch you. And God in his sovereignty and his faithfulness to me, he would. But he said, daughter, why don't you touch the people? Because I want you to impart what you have in you into them. You know, I walk in a fivefold ministry, and I don't tell myself that. God told me that. All right? And so the fivefold ministry gifting's in there. And whatever it is God wants to transfer from me to you, he will transfer tonight if you so desire.